This is CII.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome, welcome, welcome to another installment of the French Connection. My name is Darrell Bradford Smith. Great to have you here again for this most important of broadcasts. Today's date is the 6th of September. It is a Saturday. It's 2008 is our year. And I want to thank the CII group for coming in to do our engineering today for this this broadcast. I know there is a holiday period on Ramadan, and I appreciate the efforts everyone is making at CII for helping me to get this broadcast put out worldwide, ladies and gentlemen. A little bit of news for everybody. The statistics from my website, over 148 countries. People from 148 countries have visited my website in the last 2 weeks. And so that means that this message is getting out in every corner of our globe, regardless of location. People are learning the facts. We have been talking about who is running things and who has been running things for generations on our planet. This information that we share on this broadcast, The French Connection, is about how to understand what really is going on in the geopolitical realm of our Earth. You know, what they tell you on your news broadcasts on mainstream television is never, and I repeat, never the full story, and often a complete fabrication. There are reasons why the people who run this planet want to keep you from the facts. Much of it has to do with greed. Much of it has to do with political control. Much of it has to do with generational fleecing or raping of the public's purse. That is to say, we have been victimized in the West as well as the rest of the world, the developing world, for generations by a mafia. And it is not a mafia in the sense of La Cosa Nostra from Sicily or Palermo, Italy, but rather a mafia that has developed over the last few hundred years using great, powerful banking fortunes to ensconce very important people to this group into positions of power worldwide. From their positions of power, they have used their influence and their control to foment wars, to commit genocide, to steal natural resources, to undermine legitimately elected governments, to install criminal regimes that end up violently taking over their public's lifestyles. In other words, for example, the entire idea of communism that has been inflicted upon the world came from this group. And ultimately, it was them themselves that ran the communist regime in both Russia and Eastern Europe and continue to push communism around the world. And they are still in control of many parts of that world. In other words, Russia has never relinquished the yoke or jettisoned the yoke of this criminal gang. We've got Yeltsin having come in after the perestroika period. And of course, Yeltsin was just a front man for the fleecing of the Russian purse, stealing of their natural resources right out from underneath the public's nose. And then it was handed over to a KGB man who all of you know as Mr. Vladimir Putin. But the fact was, this man came out of nowhere. He would never have been allowed to be installed were he not in the control of certain powerful Russian Jewish interest groups, such as the Russian National Congress, the Russian Jewish Congress, I should say, or the Jewish-Russian Congress. I'm not sure which word comes first. The fact is it's very little difference between the way that happens and the European Jewish Committee for control over Europe, or the American Jewish Committee, how these groups run our governments from behind the scenes. I have a guest today. He is a Russian, and he is living outside the country. He is studied on these events. He has been on top of the events of the recent past in the Southern Caucasus regions, all the way through Tajikistan, Turkmenistan, all the way through over to Georgia, to Armenia, and English Shetia. In fact, he is quite an interesting guy. His name is Isklander Hasim, and I want to bring him up right now. Are you with me, Isklander? Are you with me, sir?
Yes, hello, yes.
It's great to have you here with me. I've known you as Alex Alexander, Andy, but you are a Muslim, and
yes, my Muslim name is Iskander. Iskander Hasim.
Right. Well, you know, one of the things I would like to start talking to you about today is the present conditions in the Southern Caucasus regions, because immediately upon the dissolution of the Soviet Union, many of these regions had very bad blood between what had happened out of Moscow and those regions, and they tried to assert their independence, and many of them succeeded. But what I see having happened is those governments that succeeded in breaking away were in most instances controlled by the same criminals that everyone was trying to get away from. A good example is Georgia. When you take a look at the people running Georgia, the very same criminal gang that was running Russia before the breakup of the Soviet Union. Am I correct in making that statement?
To be honest with you, it is quite difficult to stay completely independent in present time. So, in the case of Georgia, they tried to be independent from Russia because for the past several hundred years, Russia played, I would say, not really good role in the relations, and their attitude was like a big brother. They tried to control, they tried to dominate, basically. And what's happened, Georgia tried to escape from this dominance of Russia, but unfortunately they can't stay independent. So the second most powerful regime on this planet is United States. So obviously they link themselves heavily to the United States and Israel. So that's what's happened basically.
But well, interesting.
Sorry?
You know, one of the things that, Isklander, that I'd like to bring up though is the fact that we have actual Israelis in the government structure of Georgia. Yakov Shavashkashvili, and of course their interior minister was Jewish from Israel. My point is this: that both Russia and Georgia are heavily controlled at this very moment by Jewish interests.
Yes, what I believe, the Jews normally they penetrate all possible areas, and they create two groups basically, which is fighting with each other on the surface, but in reality they're controlling all these two fighting groups.
Yes, remember we talked about this privately. I gave you the term Hegelian dialectic.
Mm-hmm, yes.
Well, that is a concept that I'd like the listeners to try and understand. You see, when we look at America, for example, with the Republicans arguing with the Democrats, the fact of the matter is just under the surface, these two groups are not against each other, but in fact working together. What we see is throughout the world, they set up the opposition so that they're in control of both sides of every argument. Am I correct?
I think so. For example, one of the disturbing information which I have got, that there is a confrontation between the two Jewish groups, and Ashkenazi and Eastern Sephardi. And, for example, they use a Hitler like a puppet, and they formed the Soviet Communist Party. The Ashkenazi used a Hitler like a puppet in the Nazi Party, and Eastern Sephardi Jews, they formed a Soviet Communist Party. So basically the same people created one of the great conflicts on the surface of this earth.
Well, so basically what you're saying is the money people behind present-day Russia and Vladimir Putin, for the most part, can still be rooted back to Jewish money and Jewish interests. You mentioned to me today, interesting, I'm just bringing this up, the mayor of Moscow is Jewish, as well as Medvedev is Jewish. I mean, we've got people across Russia. Give the people a couple of an idea of Mr. Medvedev's background.
Well, Putin, he is Jewish. himself, actually. And, for example, in one of the interviews of Abramovich, millionaire, Jewish-Russian millionaire who lives in London now, and he's, well, on the surface, he's an enemy of Putin. He said that in one of his interviews for the newspaper Kommersant in 2005, he said that Putin could get Israeli citizenship as an ethnic Jew, and his mother was a Jew, and his mother's surname is Shalomova. So the new president, Dmitry Medvedev, but according to the Jewish archives, his real name is Menachem Aromovich Mendel.
And so his name is Mendel, yes, Mendel, that's right.
Yes, and his father name is Aaron Abramovich Mendel. And his president, Medvedev Mendel, wife, she's Jewish as well, Svetlana Moiseevna Linnik. Boris Lushkov, but they're positioning themselves as a Christians. So you could see often on the TV screen, their presence in the Orthodox Christian Church.
Can I stop you for a minute? Because there's another very important concept for the listeners to understand, and that is called crypto-Judaism.
Mm-hmm.
And what we have across the Western world is a Jewish people who make believe in the public that they're Christians. A good example would be John Kerry, the man who ran for president in the United States. His name is actually John Forbes Kerry, and his last name is Kahn. Madeleine Albright is a very British sounding name, Albright, but she's Jewish. General Wesley Clark, you'll remember him from the war in Serbia and Bosnia Herzegovina. He's also Jewish. In other words, we've got crypto Jews across the world making believe they're Christians. Nicolas Sarkozy is Jewish. His grandfather was one of the most prominent Jews in the world, and he makes believe he's Christian. So this is not a new tactic, is it, Ishtar?
But on the other hand, in the case of Boris Lushkov, the mayor of Moscow city, he's trying to destroy the image of crypto Jews because he started participating in the Jewish holidays, basically. His real name is Katz. And Lushkov, he used the surname of his first wife. So, for example, you could see his presence on the celebration dedicated to the Jewish festival of Hanukkah. And he was of Rabin Beryl Lazar, the chief rabbi of Russia. He lit the first candles in a big Hanukkah menorah sets on Manesh Square, and
yep,
the next day you could see him praying in Orthodox Church.
Yeah.
This is very, very unusual, I would say. This is the new step, I suppose, in the creating the image, the image of participating in the main religious activities.
Now, how many Russians are aware of this? I know in America the people that are aware of crypto Jews running the country from behind the scenes is very few. The press, of course, in the United States and in Europe is completely controlled by Zionist criminal interests. Is it the same thing in Russia? The press?
No. Russia has a long history of problems with Jews, basically, and I think that quite a lot of Russians know that the revolution in 1917 was made by Jews people, and I think I would say maybe 60-70% of Russian population knew what is going on. But on the other hand, they just stay calm and they don't want to change anything, basically, nothing.
That is very sad because essentially they are, if you take a look at history, Stalin had the same kind of controllers in his life. His wife was Jewish, and he had very powerful interests helping support him, including Roosevelt over in the United States and Churchill helping him to remain in power. And he starved and murdered people in the Southern Caucasus regions and through the Ukraine area. 30-40 million people starved to death at his hands. We're talking millions of murders by his decisions. The fact is that if the Russian population does not come to this truth and do something about it, they're going to become victims, just like the earlier Russians did. Am I correct?
Yes, the Russian population, most of them are Orthodox Christians, and there's a very strong idea implanted to them to be a victim, basically. So they like to be victimized, they like to be a victim. That's, I suppose, one of the big problems with the Russians.
Well, now, we're taking a look, you know, in the West, throughout the last month, since the Georgian troops went into Ossetia and began indiscriminate killing of the South Ossetians, that seems to me to have been planned, and I'll tell you why I think that, and maybe you can comment. The Russian response was immediate. They had massive numbers of troops ready to come in immediately. In other words, the Russians knew this was going to happen.
Oh, yes, indeed.
And they also knew, the Americans knew they were going to do it because it was set up by Israeli special forces and Americans. So everything seemed to be almost like a theater act. It was almost like the thing was completely orchestrated, including the response from Russia. And it made it look to the Europeans and to the Asian continent that America was evil and criminal, and to the European and to the American audience, it made it look like Russia was evil. But the fact was, it was made for public consumption, this whole thing, it seemed like. Am I correct to say that this was like a big theater act?
I think so. I think you're quite correct, because in reality, Ossetians, the head of Ossetians, he's a general of FSB, the successor of KGB, and they've got extremely strong links to Moscow, to Kremlin, and they provoked Georgians quite a lot, basically. I mean, there was quite a lot of nearly everyday military provocation, so the Georgians tried to stop this, and they attacked Khinvali, the capital of Ossetia, but the Russian troops were already there, basically. So they attacked Georgia, and the war has happened just few days, and it's like a surgical operation on the theater. Yeah, it is well orchestrated. It's not a spontaneous event. It is really very well orchestrated.
Exactly, and right. And you know what we're taking a look at now is that there are other regions close by, like, and you can maybe speak to this better than anyone. Ingushetia, of course, to the west of Georgia, had a war with the Russian forces, and of course there's been terrible murder and genocide in some instances of populations in that region. And anybody trying to speak out about the facts regarding the murder of so many civilians in Ingushetia have been actually killed since. There have been more murders. They're continuing to do that. Am I correct in saying that?
Well, in that conflict, Russian forces slaughtered around 100,000 civilians. And
yes,
that's according to the Russian sources. And Clinton lent Yeltsin $11 billion to finance this operation.
Yep.
And Clinton even went to Moscow and lauded Yeltsin, likened Russian savage repression of tiny Chechnya to America's civil war. And he heavily support the Russian war in Chechnya, which actually lasts for the past 300 years. Russia tried to control this Caucasian region, and really for this, for the past 300 years, they killed enormous amount, just literally slaughtered enormous amount of completely innocent people.
Yes, yes. Well, now let's get into the general control of this region and what the goal is. My research tells me that America's economy is in very big trouble worldwide. We have seen the complete destruction of the American dollar. They have gone from the largest creditor country in the world and in 20 years become the largest debtor country in the world. We are on the verge of an economic collapse in the United States. The point being, the Russians, on the other hand, have been strengthened lately. They have been given new money in their treasury. They have been building new equipment for their military. And so it seems like countries such as Iran are inviting the Russians into Iran. This is astonishing to me because here they are. Russia is thoroughly controlled at the top by Jewish interests, and the Iranians are inviting them into their country. They're inviting the Russians into Syria. My point is this. It won't take an army of Russians to take over Iran. They'll already be invited. They won't have to attack. They'll be invited in. And so it seems like they're making a fatal error here. Because, as you know, and I know, and many people know, Zionist control of Russia is not a myth; it's a reality. And why would a country such as Iran invite Zionists into their country, and seemingly in opposition to Israel? It seems like a big fraud, and it looks like within the next couple of years, that whole region could be in the hands of Vladimir Putin.
Well, it's really quite difficult to say exactly what is going on in relation Russia and Muslim countries, because in reality Russia is a great enemy of Islam, and they're fighting Islam. For example, it is really very easy to open the synagogue in any Russian town or city, but virtually it's impossible to open a mosque. And there was a still persecution of Russian Muslims happened in Russia, and literally Russia still killing thousands of Muslim all the Caucasian region. And on the other hand, they've got very good relations with Iran and other seems to be Muslim countries. That's from my point of view as a Muslim. That's bizarre. That is extremely strange. Things, yes. What is going on? This is very difficult to understand.
Just made the statement, Iskander. I made the statement that it seems to me the larger goal here is for ultimately. I mean, Putin has done a good job in the public eye as being a Christian, and his countrymen are holding him up as a very popular leader. If you look at if you ask a Muscovite or you ask somebody from Vladivostok or any place in a large major city of Russia, if Putin has done a good job, everybody is almost to a man says yes.
Nearly 90% support him. Yeah. I would say so.
Now, but many people don't realize under the surface there are other plans on the in the future that are going to change Russia's life dramatically. Now, I see this as a fraud, and I see it as a period of preparing for a new attack into the northern region of Iran as well as into Iraq, because America can't continue in Iraq. There's no more money to spend by the Americans. So what's going to happen when the American military can no longer hold Iraq? And they have to walk away. What's going to happen when Afghanistan erupts with the Taliban and the Americans have no more money to finance their military? Who's going to come in and fill up the vacuum, fill up the void? Of course, it will be Putin's forces. He has a full treasury. He has been saving tons of gold. Over the last 3 years, he's bought over 1,000 tons of gold, this man, putting in his treasury. He is a creditor nation in the world. He has a positive balance in his treasury. My point is this. As far back as I can look into history, the Russians have been receiving, even under the Soviet regime, the Americans were giving the Soviets technology and cash throughout World War II, and it didn't end after World War II. The entire Cold War was a fraud. And there was high-level contact between people like Armand Hammer, a very prominent Zionist Jew, who would bring technology from New York into Moscow, and they were sharing information and capital, and the Jewish bankers were giving money to Russia when they needed it. My point is this. What we've seen on the surface is a Cold War, but what was really going on was world domination of a single group, in my view.
Well, as I said earlier, what the Jews doing, they creating two opposing groups, basically. So the majority of the population on this earth believe in the conflict, and they try to take any part of this conflict, basically, to be busy. And but in reality, just the one group who is in the control. For example, in Moscow, there's a lot, thousands of Jews who is literally emigrating from Israel to Moscow. And in one of the interviews in the Jewish newspaper, I don't remember who is exactly, he said that we are trying to build the new, even Lushkov, the mayor of Moscow, said that we are trying to build a new Jerusalem. In Moscow, I suppose they try to replace the very bad image of Israel and America in the world, and replace it with the Russia, basically, with a new refreshed image. But
yep.
not too many people know that this is the same, basically, the same tool, yeah, run by the Jews.
Well, Iskander, I have a question for you. I know recently they announced, and Putin announced, the opening of his party. His political party is opening an office in Tel Aviv and Jerusalem. And so it's the first time Russia has actually entered Israel with some of its political movement. So basically what we see is this is not just clandestine anymore. They're actually starting to make moves in the open. Showing that they work together. I mean, you know, what is Vladimir Putin's political party opening up offices in both Tel Aviv and Jerusalem? I mean, come on. And could you give the people a little idea of some of the men and women, some of their names of people behind Putin that are running things in Russia?
Well, this is really quite difficult to say, because this is really hidden information. It is extremely difficult to say who is in reality behind Putin, and unfortunately I can't tell you the real names, but I think that the all links goes back to Israel.
The Chabad Lubavitch under Lazar's Chabad Lubavitch Association of Jewish Communities in Russia.
Well, Ben Lazar, he was introduced to Russia in the 90s by the head of the KGB. This is quite interesting. This is quite interesting point. And Ben Lazar, he's heavily supporting President Bush.